Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. Let's hear the word of God. When the days drew near for him, that is Jesus, to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, how great and wondrous and full of truth and power and vitality is your word. And Lord, today we would seek to study your word and to learn about our Savior and about his determined march to Jerusalem. Help us to understand better, Lord, why he was so determined to go to Jerusalem. And so we commit this time to your blessing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
One of the most amazing things about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, of course, the incarnate Son of God, is his all-consuming desire to please his Heavenly Father and to fulfill the mission that his Father sent him to accomplish, which was to die for the sins of his beloved people, that they might receive eternal life and be brought into living fellowship with God forever. From what you know of the gospel, did the Lord Jesus accomplish the mission that he was sent for?
Yes.
Yes, he did, most definitely. Well, one of the not only interesting but valuable things that the Lord has ordained for his people in all centuries is that they might learn about Jesus' life and ministry through four accounts, four gospels. And each of these four gospels has a lot of similarities with the other gospels, but they're also unique. They have some special purposes and arrangements according to the author for the purpose he was trying to get across. Well, today I want us to turn to Luke's gospel as we approach Holy Week. Next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, and after that, of course, is Easter. So I want us to turn our thinking to Jesus' death and resurrection, which we always remember and celebrate this time of year. One of the current contemporary theologians that we like is D.A. Carson, and he says that some people have called the Gospel of Luke's travel narratives. Because when he orders the arrangement of his book, beginning at chapter 9, verse 51, he's continually taking the readers again and again to this commitment, this desire of Jesus to get to Jerusalem, to go to Jerusalem. Well, as we look at this gospel, we see that Luke keeps reminding us of Jesus' commitment to go to Jerusalem. Now, let's think about Jerusalem for a few minutes. It's a crucially important city for the Old Testament religion, for the gospel, the New Testament Christianity, in the Bible. A lot of significant things happen in Jerusalem, okay? You remember that Abraham took his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah, where Jerusalem was later built. And as they went up to the mountain, they were carrying firewood to make a sacrifice. And Isaac said, "Here's the wood, Father, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Remember, Abraham's response, the Lord himself will provide the lamb. And he did. When Abraham was about to kill his son and sacrifice his son, a ram appeared. And so this is a picture that the Lord himself would provide a lamb, a real lamb, the Son of God in the future, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And he did die there in that area. Well, it was in Jerusalem that David brought the ark and set it there in the tent. It was to be the place of worship and sacrifices, as they had done in the wilderness, until the temple would be built by his son Solomon. It says, for example, in 2 Chronicles 1:4, David brought up the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim to the place that David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. Well, again we read in 2 Chronicles 11:16, those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their fathers. So, and Jerusalem was a place of sacrifice for sins, a place of worship, the center of the nation. In Psalm 116, we read in verse 18, the psalmist writes, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Where's that? In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord, praise Yahweh. So it was a place of worship. And then when the Jews were conquered by the Babylonians and sent into exile, we see this psalm which seems to be written during that time, Psalm 137, verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. So it was a special, sacred city to the Jews in the fullest meaning of the word. It was a place of worship, a place of sacrifice for their sins. Well, there's some promises made in the Bible regarding Jerusalem. Isaiah 52:9, break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. Or Jeremiah 3:17, at that time Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall gather to it, to the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart. Well, of course it was to Jerusalem that the people would come three times a year for the yearly festivals to worship. It was there that animals, sheep and goats and bulls and pigeons and so forth, were offered to the Lord as a sacrifice for the sins of their people. Now, as we look at Luke's gospel, we see that it's a very interesting arrangement that Luke had made when he wrote this gospel. Now, let me remind you that Luke spent a lot of time with the Apostle Paul. And we believe he also interviewed a lot of people that were involved in the events of Jesus' life. So we had some first-hand sources for the writing of this gospel. And what we see here, the first three or four chapters, the preparation for Jesus' ministry, remember his birth narrative and so forth. And then beginning of chapter 4, verse 14 through 9, verse 50, we read about Jesus' ministry in Galilee, his teaching and his work of healing and deliverance and so forth. Well, when we get to chapter 4, verse 14, it says, Jesus returned in the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So here he concentrates on the area of Galilee. And he says in chapter 4, verse 43, he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now here the word Judea probably means the whole country. And so this particular area of Judea, the northern part, he was preaching. Now, this goes on for several chapters, and then in chapter 9, verse 51, we're going to take it up. Chapter 9, verse 51 says this, "For when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem." So, Jesus is leaving Galilee and he's heading southward down in the other areas of Judea. And he passes through Samaria and he sends some of his men to prepare for his coming, but they didn't receive him. It says, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. So what does that mean? Well, you remember when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well of Samaria, that they had a religious discussion. And she said, "You Jews worship in Jerusalem, but we worship here. We think this is the correct place for worship." And Jesus said, "Well, let me tell you, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, so it's not going to be the place." But at that time, they were fixated on the place. So they didn't receive Jesus because they thought he was worshiping in the wrong place, in Jerusalem. So they didn't really want to have anything to do with him. No hospitality, no welcoming him. They just wanted to move on. Well, he set his face toward Jerusalem. We see it, this term repeated, verse 51, verse 53. This seems, without a doubt, to be based on Isaiah 50, verse 7. The servant of the Lord says this, "For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I've not been disgraced. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." So, he set his face on going to Jerusalem. He had a mission. He wanted to go there. It says in chapter 13 of Luke, verse 22, "He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." So, we read of different things here that he was doing and preaching, but always in his mind was, "I got to get to Jerusalem. I got to get to Jerusalem." And then in chapter 13, verse 33, he says this interesting statement, "I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." Jesus was a prophet. And he was saying that it was proper and traditional for a prophet to die in Jerusalem. And he was headed that way. He was the final prophet of God. We read in verse chapter 17, verse 11. "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." And then we arrive at the next chapter. Chapter 18, verse 31. Jesus says this, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished.'" He was driven by the prophetic word. Verse 32, "For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles." Jesus knew what was going to happen, right? "And will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, whipping him. They will kill him. And on the third day he will rise. But they, that is the disciples, understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Jesus repeated several times in the Gospels his prediction of what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. So why would he want to head into that? Well, we're going to think about that. So he goes on ahead toward Jerusalem, and he enters the city on that Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, in chapter 19. So, let me read you one more quote from D.A. Carson. He says, everything that takes place in Luke's Gospel from chapter 9, verse 51, takes place under the looming shadow of the impending cross. This is one of the ways Luke organized his material. That is the way God has given us this book. Let me ask this question. Why was Jesus' face set like a flint to go to Jerusalem? Why do you think he was so determined and committed to going to Jerusalem? Anybody know? Do you have some friends there you wanted to visit?
I thought it was to fulfill Scripture.
Okay, fulfill Scripture, right. Okay, we're going to find out some more details about this. Okay, first of all, his face was set like a flint to go to Jerusalem because he was going there to die for our sins, right? 2 Corinthians 15:3, Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Where did he die? Outside Jerusalem, right? In accordance with the Scriptures. That he was buried. Where was he buried? Outside Jerusalem. He was raised on the third day. Where did that happen? In the area of Jerusalem. Accordance with the Scriptures. Jesus went to Jerusalem to die. Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. How did God bring his people to himself? It's through the death and resurrection of his son. Where did this happen? It happened in Jerusalem. Jesus set his face like a flint for Jerusalem. Secondly, he went there to reveal his identity as Messiah. Now, you know, he's been trying to kind of keep it quiet up to this point because he didn't want people to advertise him as a political, military kind of Messiah. That wasn't the kind of Messiah he was. And people, including his own disciples, were quick to jump on that idea. But he enters the city, and he did this in fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why should they be so happy? Because your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation. This is a messianic prophecy. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. He shall rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So this king is coming to be the great ruler and king of all the nations. There's another reason Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, because he was obedient to the Father. It says in Philippians 2:8, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. we cannot be saved. We could not be saved if Jesus had not been obedient to his Father's will, which was death on the cross. So he came to Jerusalem to be obedient to the Father's will, which is for him to die. He was anxious to get to Jerusalem. Another reason, to defeat death. Hebrews 2:9 says, "We see him who was a little while made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Christ went through death. He suffered it. He came out conqueror of death so that he can deliver his people from death. So Jesus' face was set toward Jerusalem so that he could conquer death. He would conquer death and his own person by his resurrection and conquered death in behalf of his people. 1 Corinthians 15 says of Jesus' ministry, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The only way to defeat death in this world is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Jerusalem and conquered death, that he might be our everlasting Savior, and that we might partake of his life. His face was set toward Jerusalem so that he could defeat Satan. Satan was wreaking havoc among all the peoples of the earth. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, "Therefore, the children, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So Jesus conquered Satan in his death and resurrection. Jesus had seen for years all the suffering that the devil had done to people, and he was ready and willing to conquer that evil creature in the name of God to deliver his own people. There's another reason. Jesus' face was set to get to Jerusalem. That was to bring glory to the Father and to himself. We read in John 17:4, "And Jesus prayed to the Father, and he says, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed." So, one of the great underlying issues here, in Jesus going to Jerusalem, dying and rising, was that the Father might be glorified and that he also would be glorified. There's another reason he set his face toward Jerusalem. And we read this in Isaiah 53:11. It says, "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. He shall bear their iniquities." So Jesus was heading for Jerusalem so that he would be satisfied in making his people righteous before God. He wanted to justify the unjust and bring them to God. Every person outside of Christ is unjust, wicked, condemned by our holy God. Romans 3:24 says, "There's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified." How? "By his grace, as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This gift of grace has to pass through the redemption of Christ. It's not possible without the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His blood had to be shed. He had to die. He had to absorb the wrath of God in his own body against our sins in order to remove our guilt, our condemnation, and make us righteous and holy and pure in the eyes of God. Jesus wanted to do this. And so he headed for Jerusalem. That's the only place where it could happen according to the scriptures. Another reason, he set his face like a flint so that he could establish the new covenant of God with his people. Hebrews 9:15 says, therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. A new covenant was established by God with his people through the death and resurrection of his Son. A covenant in which the Spirit is imparted internally to the believer, making him or her a new person in Christ with the never-failing presence of God with that person forever. We remember this new covenant every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul says, Jesus took the cup when he administered that first Lord's Supper to his disciples and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus was committed to go to Jerusalem, to die on Calvary's cross in order to establish, to ratify, to bring into effectiveness the new covenant, the promised covenant in the Old Testament that we read about, in which God would place his Spirit within our hearts, his law within our hearts and minds, and forgive our sins. And then there's one final reason that I want to put forth before you today for his great desire to go to Jerusalem. And Brother DeWitt gave me this one. For the joy set before him. We read in Hebrews 12:2. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He was heading for Jerusalem. Yes, I'm sure he was going there with fear and trembling. But he was looking forward to something that would happen beyond the suffering. And that was the joy that was set before him in the salvation of his people. He despised the shame. He was willing to go through the cross in order to obey his Father and to rescue his people, to rescue us from our sins. So everything that happens in Luke's Gospel from chapter 9, verse 51 on, happens under the shadow of the cross. It's always there. Jesus is always heading toward it. That's the way Luke arranged his Gospel. He understood the significance, the importance of the death of Christ, which is the heart of the gospel, the only way God's people can be saved. And so he wanted to stress this by arranging his gospel in this way. Well, Jesus was totally committed to heading for Jerusalem. And people sometimes say of Jesus, well, yeah, he was a great teacher. He was a nice man. But you know, you cannot separate Jesus from the cross. The cross was bloody. It was violent. And the wrath of the living God was poured out upon that man on the cross. It was ugly. It was terrible. But you cannot understand Jesus Christ. You cannot embrace Him as your Savior unless you understand the suffering that He went through in bearing the sins of His people in order that we could be rescued, cleansed, and forgiven. And then accompanying the death, the necessary death of Christ, was His resurrection. He had to be raised from the dead so that His work, His redeeming work, could be manifested to be accepted by the Father as a payment for our sins. So Christ was determined to go to Jerusalem at all cost. He was even eager to go there. Why did He set His face toward Jerusalem? It was to die for our sins. It was to reveal His identity as the Messiah of God. It was so that He could continue to be obedient to the Father, so He could defeat death once and for all, so that He could defeat Satan and all of his wicked works and schemes and damage that He was doing to humanity. He was committed to going there to bring glory to the Father and to Himself. He was going there so that He could be satisfied. He could sit back and say, it was worth it. It was well worth it. It was tough. Let me tell you, it was tough. But it was worth it because my people have been saved, rescued from their sins, and brought into the kingdom of God. Been made righteous and just before God. People who were unholy and unjust and wicked and evil. When Jesus gets a hold of them, He changes their hearts, makes them into new men, women, boys, and girls. And they're never the same again. Amen. And their mind and heart is focused also on Jesus Christ and His cross and on His resurrection and pleasing Him. And so He came to establish that new covenant sealed in the blood of Christ. Nothing can ever break that seal. Once we've come in repentance and faith to Christ and He saves us, we are His forever. And He came for the joy. There was suffering, but yes, at the end of the road, there was joy. Joy for Him, and joy for all of His people. So, those of us who are disciples of Christ, we need to follow in His footsteps. We need to take up our cross and follow Him every day. And the challenges and trials that He may send our way. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I'll not venture to speak of anything. In Romans 15, 18. I'll not speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. He wasn't bragging on himself. He was bragging on what Christ had done to take this man who had been a violent persecutor of the church and use him to be a great blessing to the Gentile world and to the church for all the centuries that follow. It's what Christ has accomplished through me. So, our Lord's face was set like a flint. You know, flint was the material that Native Americans often used to make arrowheads because it was hard and it wouldn't break. It was one of the hardest rocks they could find. And so Jesus uses that illustration to show how hard his commitment was, how firm it was to go to the cross and accomplish this work in behalf of his people. So, therefore, here's the result, very briefly. Therefore, because Christ set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem and accomplish the work of redemption that was the plan of God to rescue his people. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be you steadfast. Steadfast. Immovable. Don't even let anything shake you off of your path. But always abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So whatever the Lord has put before us, his work, it's not in vain. It's valuable. Jesus sees it and he's pleased. Like our Lord was steadfast, like he was immovable, we too, his people, need to be steadfast and unmovable in the work of the Lord and our commitment and love to him and to his service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would not allow anything to deter him from going to Jerusalem. He was even eager and determined to go there, that he might offer himself up as the sacrifice for the sins of his people, and that he might be raised from the dead. We thank you for such a great Savior, who loved us so much, who's so obedient to you. Help us, Lord, to follow in his steps, to be determined and committed to our service to you. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen.